I think all of you here know Paul. Paul has been wanting to speak to us for a while, and this is the first opportunity he's really had due to some work and study conflicts. Paul's going to talk about his life and his coming to the Lord and his life with the Lord. There's some things that Paul may not tell you tonight that I feel obliged to tell you, though. For one thing, not all of you may know that Paul is a dyed-in-the-wool Sarah Palin Republican. The other is that you may know that Paul is a hot rodder. He does like fast cars. He's always liked fast cars, and he's liked a lot of cars. Paul is a believer in being prepared. It's probably very few of you know how many cars Paul has, much to the chagrin of his wife. Paul believes in being prepared. You know, he has a hot rod for every occasion. And he has, you know, a truck, and he also has a fully weaponized a troop carrier, just in case. So, on a more serious note, Paul has been teaching Bible class for decades, and he has really focused on middle schoolers and has come to love them, and they've come to love him. And he's maintained a relationship with these young people for a very long time, and it's a mentor-mentee kind of relationship, and they hold Paul in high esteem and hold him very close. Paul and April have some dreams that I think he will share with you probably a little bit tonight about what they want to do when they retire, which they're hoping won't be terribly long in the distance, even though they're not of an age technically to retire. And their goals are very spiritually minded and very much something that we should encourage and look at them in terms of imitating if we possibly can. Paul, we're looking forward to what you have to share with us.
I am a bit long-winded, so I have a binder. I'll try not to take too long, though. Thanks for the fine words, Dave. I appreciate it. What April and I want to do someday, we did want to do a sojourn like what my sister Corrine does, and then we decided that traveling around in a motorhome was probably what we wanted to do. So I think when we do finally, when God blesses us and allows us to retire, we'll just stay here, and there's plenty in Ventura County to do. So that's kind of what I want. So tonight what I'd like to, first of all, thank you so much again for letting me have this opportunity. I just want to tell my story of this thing. Too loud. I don't know. Okay. I just want to tell my story. I wasn't raised in the church, so I'll just go on and tell you a little bit about me. My sermon's called God Jesus. I'm a Christian. What does God want me to do? We all have a story to tell about our road to becoming a Christian. This is mine. This is a story about a young boy not raised in the church. All my life, my mother said I was supposed to be here. God has a purpose for you. So I would ask her what my purpose was. And of course, we all know what her answer was. I don't know, but God does. I always wondered why she told me this. Was it just my mother trying to build me up and make me feel special? I was always bothered by you have a purpose life. And how does she know this? To make some sense of it, you'd have to know that my mother had a miscarriage a year or more before I was born. She was 46. Her first husband had died when my sister was 16. My dad, her second husband, wanted one child. Just a few years ago, my sister Corrine told me mother's doctors tried to get her to abort me due to life-threatening high blood pressure. But my mother simply stated, we're both making it or neither of us are making it. I thought, wow, what love. I wasn't born yet, it made me think about Jesus' love for us. He died on the cross for my sins, and yet he didn't know me. You'd have to know my mother to understand her. Her life was like a story out of the Old West. Her father died when she was young. She quit school to raise her seven brothers and sisters. You read about these stories, but my mother lived it. Back to me. To hear my family tell it, I was a typical kid, if you like Dennis the Menace. My mother and dad were divorced. My mother and I worked long hours in her small family-owned restaurant to support us. Yes, I was required to attend school, too. I remember getting up at 4 a.m. with her to go to the restaurant. I would sleep in the back seat of our car until school time and then go to school. After school, I helped my mother in the restaurant, getting it closed and ready for the next day. We got home around 7 or 8 p.m. I studied, schoolwork, went to bed, and we did it all over again. I did not like restaurant work. Washing dishes, silverware, waiting tables, the work seemed to go on forever. My mother did help me realize the value of hard work and helping the family make ends meet. It was good for a kid to learn such things. My mother was a very religious person, raised a Methodist. She wanted me to know God, but after working all week, her only day of rest was on Sunday. She did not force me to go to church alone. There were two older women in our trailer park. They always had a short Bible school on Sunday, and I learned about Jesus. We always got some apple juice and little crackers that looked like fish to eat after the Bible stories. I always remembered these two older women who cared enough to tell me the story of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, we are those two old women. They are in all of us who take the name Christian. I often wonder what happened to those two women. What would my life have been like if no one told me the stories of Jesus? You see, I wasn't raised in the church. How I wish I had been. How wonderful to hear the stories of the Word, to sing songs. Telling people about Jesus is part of our DNA as Christians. The beginning of my Christian walk. When I was about 12, I started going to the Calvary Baptist Church. Believing in God came natural to me. It was as if I was born to become a Christian. After a few years, I stopped going to the Baptist Church. I was about 14 or so. Sometimes on Sunday, my mother and I would visit my sister Corrine and go to her church. I liked the Church of Christ. The people seemed friendly, welcoming, but very serious about their worship to God. I always enjoyed the singing and the way they preached the word, telling stories about how to live your life as a Christian. One day I was visiting my sister. We were in the car waiting for her daughters. We started talking about God. She tried with all her heart to explain to me about how to obey the gospel and be baptized. But all I would say was, I was already a Christian. As a Baptist, I had asked God into my heart using Romans 10:9, the sinner prayer. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That was all I would say. Romans 10:9 was stuck in my mind. So many people are stuck on Romans 10:9 and do not believe that baptism saves them or has a place in salvation. So even though believing came easy, hearing and obeying the word was difficult for me to do. My heart was stuck on one Bible verse. My sister did not give up on me. She did not want me to burn in hell. And yes, I have since thanked her for telling me about Jesus and for not being afraid to stand up for her faith to the point of exhaustion on my behalf. Remember, I already believed in God. I believed I was saved. But was I? It was summertime, and the Church of Christ Sierra Bible Camp was accepting applications. Back then, it was $14 to send a kid to camp. My mother gladly paid that price for a week of peace in our house. What can I say? If you cannot find God at church camp, where will you? It was great fun. I can still remember it. Bible studies, singing, campfires, other kids believing in God, and the great outdoors. We had Tim Kelly as our music director at campfires. Tim Kelly could sing. It was peaceful at camp. God was there. You could feel God's presence all around. It was the last day of camp. We were going home in the morning. I had seen many kids baptized. It was amazing to see the love there. The camp counselors had studied with me. They knew I was ready. You could see it in my face. I was baptized on the last day in the evening. I still remember coming out of the water. I knew something great had happened to me. My life had been changed forever. Praise God, I'm saved. To this day, I have a passion for church camp. I never went back, though. But if I could, I would gladly send every man, woman, and child to church camp at least once. I believe it would be our best hope for them finding Jesus. I'm a Christian now. What does God want me to do? We all have a gift that we can use in our service to God. We need to figure out what our gift is and use it. God does not care if we work in a group or by ourselves. God wants us to do the work of telling others about Jesus. Here's a Christian quote I learned from Dr. Dobson on Focus of the Family. It's, remember, God loves you. Relax, He is in charge. Rely, trust Him. These words really do help when you're in some crisis or just when you're thinking about what you're going to do for your day. I'm now part of God's church, not the building. It's all the Christians around the world. Think of us as Team Christ, as we are followers of Christ. All of us with high beam lights, shining our light on the world, taking away the darkness. That's our job. We are a force for good. Romans 12:4-8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. 2 Timothy 2:15. We must know the word. It's our sword. Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Great Commission. These are Jesus' final words before leaving us, before leaving this earth. What would you say to a loved one before leaving them? Would you say the words that are meaningful and provide guidance and important salvation questions? Yes, you would. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He continued on in Mark 16:15 and said, go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Why Ventura County? Why not the world? Because this is our little part of the world that needs saving. There are so many in our community who do not believe in God. Who else will talk to our family, our friends, our neighbors? Brothers and sisters, we are the only hope, just as my sister Corrine might have been my only hope. Romans 10:14-15. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Prayer is important in winning souls for Christ. We should pray all the time. If you see something you can do, act upon it. Pray a short prayer right there. God knows what you need already. I sometimes think I talk to God so much he has a special red phone on his desk labeled Paul the Pest. But that's okay. God wants me to share my concerns and to thank him for what he does for me. We are not alone in this work. God is there every step of the way. Believing we can do it is important. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. What about the people who are against us? Romans 8:28, 31, 32, and 33. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? who did not spare his own son, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Brothers and sisters, we must be alert to our surrounding. We must be ready to stop what we're doing and to do the good works prepared for us in advance as Christians. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not for, sorry, for it is grace, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not by works, so no one can boast. For if we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which have been prepared in advance for us to do. Are we going to be perfect? No, but we need to look for good to do." This verse really scares me right here. "Anyone then who knows good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Are we our brother's keeper? After Cain had murdered Abel, his brother Abel, God asked him, where his brother was? Cain answered, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain's word have come to symbolize people's unwillingness to accept responsibility for the welfare of their fellow brothers in the extended sense of the term. The tradition of Judaism and Christianity is that people do have this responsibility. The Church of Christ here in Matura is overflowing with people who are their brother's keeper. I thank God for all of you. You inspire me to be a better Christian. What are examples of good works we can do? The Bible has many stories. The Good Samaritan, I'm going to summarize it. A man was robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the side of the road. A priest and a Levite passed by the man on the other side of the road and didn't help him. The Good Samaritan stops and helps the man, gets him medical aid, etc. The Good Samaritan was doing good works. We Christians should be that Good Samaritan. And that would be in Luke 10, 25 through 37 for the complete story. As Christians, we have many opportunities to help those in need. We will miss some and are successful in others. We should always ask ourselves, what would Jesus do if he were here? The point to remember is we are God's children. We are like little flashlights shining light into the dark world. The better our light shines, the better the opportunity to get others to see we are different from the world. Christians should consider themselves as gatekeepers, being willing to stand at the gates of hell and redirect traffic to heaven. What does that mean? It means if you help someone find Jesus the way my sister helped me, you're a gatekeeper. There was a movie quite a few years back. It's called Pay It Forward. And it wasn't about Christians, but it was about an idea of making the world a better place through random acts of kindness. You were to provide an act of kindness to someone three times because it had been given to you once first. I consider Jesus' death on the cross our act of kindness. Hopefully you can see my point. Instead of three acts of kindness and paying it forward, it is a lifetime of acts of kindness or good works as a Christian. I often ask myself, what does take my cross and follow Jesus mean? It means I'm a worker in the Master's vineyard. Jesus has paid the price for me. Thank God, I'm saved. But there are so many others out there who need to hear the gospel. Matthew 25:34-40. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go visit you? The king replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. God is pleased with us when he sees our changed heart, as God knows our heart. When we do good works, we are Christ-like. We have changed our mindset from ourselves to being like Jesus. This is what God wants from us. God has first loved us, and God wants us to love him and others. Putting others first, Jesus washed the feet of the apostles. We can see that just about anything can be an example of good works. It could be a simple prayer, talking to someone at a bus stop about Jesus. It's buying a hungry person something to eat or drink. I believe all we have to do is pray to God to help us find good works, and people will come to us. How do we talk to someone who does not believe in God, an atheist? We must tell them about the air we breathe, the gravity that neither pulls us to the ground or releases us into the heavens, and then there's the sun that does not burn us to a crisp, unless, of course, we stay out in it too long. Is that not enough to bring some food for thought about God's existence? Need more? Look up the human eye. We must show non-believers the logic that states God is the creator. Romans 1:19 through 20 says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so men are without excuse. Most people want to think that they're good people. Why is this? The scripture says in Mark 10:18 through 19, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Is it possible that by our very nature, being created by God, we strive to be like God, good? Romans 2:14 through 16. Indeed, when Gentiles do not have the law, do by the nature things required by the law, they are a law of them for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. How do we talk to someone who does believe in God? We all lead busy lives, but as Christians, we must be aware of those around us. Some among us are hurting physically, spiritually, financially. It's all about seeing the good works that is prepared in advance for us to do. Write the scriptures down that you need to start the conversation. Be prepared to talk with people about the gospel and how to be saved. Invite them to Bible studies and to the church. Show them you care about them. Pray with them and for them and their family. People sometimes say to me, I'm a good person and God is merciful. I remind them about Jesus going to the cross and that God has already shown us mercy by sending a son to die for us. Jesus has already paid the price. Mark 14:35 and 36, going on a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Romans 8:32, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is a judge. God knows our hearts. We are Christians. We must shine our light as best we can, just like the light tower that guides the ship to the shore. So I leave you with this. Remember, God loves you. Relax. He is in charge. Rely. Trust him. If you need to come forward for any reason, we now sing the invitation song. Thank you.